Yeah. Woo. Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? That's right, it's your friend CL King coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in, where am I at? Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, and also the home of my sixth guest for the next hour with me. I am so delighted, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to close out my week. This is my end. This is the end of my work week, as you guys know. Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night. After that, I'm done. But we wanted to close out the week kind of in parallel with closing out this amazing school year. Class of 2021 is probably will go down in history as one of the most amazing classes in all of antiquity. But also, we wanted to tap into the imaginations of those that are like, okay, so what do I do now? Or who are saying, I'm not there yet, but I don't really know what I want to do in life. So we had some great insights and input from people who said, hey, listen, why don't we put together a little expo for these kids before they get ready to brain dump over the summer, because y'all know that's what happened over the summer, right? And give them six perspectives of dynamic careers that they might find interesting. Yeah, and so I was thinking about that. I told my son this. I said, brother, the decision I made at 19 years old, has put food on your table for the last 20 years, bruh. So it's important that we try to unearth the stuff that may be dormant in young people's lives. Young people, if you listening to this podcast or watching us on our live stream, we want you to know that the future is yours. When you see and hear these careers, we've got some dynamic people on here. I'm a little intimidated by all the skill sets that are on here. But that doesn't mean that it's without reach or that you can't attain what they've attained. That's why we brought them here, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we brought them here, young people, to inspire you. Y'all ready to get inspired? Well, let's do this. Welcome to Impacting Life 24/7. All of my guests on the Career Expo night. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here, and we appreciate you guys. I would say give yourself a round of applause, but I mean, you know, I should do it for you. So I'm gonna clap for everybody. And I know Greg is clapping off camera. So again, we are here at our 2021 Expo, Career Expo. And this is birthed by Detective Gerard, as well as Greg, who said, man, we wanna try to give our young people some insights on different careers. And sometimes when they're in school, it's just, you know, math, English, science, and technology. But man, okay, so what about the rest of the equation? And so we said, man, why don't we gather some professionals, some dynamic professionals, and have them speak directly to our youth and our parents and say, hey, look, this is what I do. This may be of interest to you. Let me give you a peek into how to get there. So we're going to go around the room. I got a lot to get to. I got a lot of stuff to do tonight. Greg is not paying me overtime, and our sponsors are going to dock my pay if I go over. So I got to get right to it. I've got several people around the room. We're going to go around the room and have them introduce themselves and tell a little bit about themselves. My friend, Detective Gerard, welcome to Impacting Life 24/7. Why don't you just introduce yourself to our audience, our global audience, and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Sharice Gerard. I live in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm from New Bern, North Carolina, elementary through high school. That's where I got my education. And I am currently a public servant, is what I like to call it. I serve the public. I'm a single mother of two sons. I work full time. I attend college full time, and I'm just grinding right now, trying to get to my next level in life.
Awesome, that's powerful. And listen, I spy on her all the time, and when she says she's grinding, she's making some sparks, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you for being on the show, Sharice. And our next panelist tonight that's joining us is Miss Hill. Miss Hill, tell us where you're from and give us a little bit of insight about you.
Hey everyone, my name is Kiera. I work in rehab therapy. I'm from Trenton, North Carolina, born and raised. And I really love what I do, and I'm excited to talk with you all about it.
All right. And I can just tell you this, that I love that area where you're from. And so I just don't get to get down there nearly as much. I need to get back down there. Miss Minor, thank you so much for being on Impacting Life 24/7. And I'm going to be calling. Instead of doing Google now, I'm just going to call you when I need some math equations helped out with.
Sounds good. So,
tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Anquavia Minor. I am from Bay Burn, North Carolina, which is a small town in Pamlico County on the other side of New Bern, across the bridge. But I'm currently a native of New Bern, North Carolina. I am married with two kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old. I am also in school getting my master's to be a full-time mathematics instructor. So that's just me.
Awesome, man. And congratulations on those amazing kids.
Thank you.
8 years old and 2 years old. Man, that's a phenomenal age group. And I really wish some days I could rewind my kids back to that time. Until I get the insurance bills for the stuff they charge me for. So anyway, thank you so much for being with us. Colleen, I know you, but many people may not know you, but I'm sure a large portion of Eastern Carolina knows you. But give us an introduction of yourself, Colleen.
Well, my name's Colleen Jackson, and I live in Aiden, North Carolina, though I'm not from North Carolina. Originally born and bred in Michigan and made my way here and have lived here for 25 years via Florida, the Bahamas, Las Vegas, Nevada, Madison, Wisconsin, and maybe a few other pit stops along the way. I am a daughter, a sister, a mom, a wife, most importantly, a mom. Very proud of my 21-year-old son. And I work in radio, so a few people may know me in Eastern North Carolina.
All right. Well, thank you, Colleen. And we'll talk maybe a little more about the endeavors that you and I and Greg and our company did years ago. What a great time. That's what kind of brought us together. So it's just like, yes, a family reunion for us. Miss Willis, welcome. And so glad that you took time out of your schedule to be with us on Impact Life 24/7. Introduce yourself to our global intergalactical audience and tell us about yourself.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone. I am Tiffany Willis. I am from Baltimore, Maryland, born and raised. I still live in Maryland. Live in as a county called Anne Arundel County, and I live in Severn. I am a corporate trainer. And I recently got engaged, September during COVID, but I am getting married next year, May 2022. So, but I'm happy to be here and to talk with you all.
Hey, that's awesome, Tiffany, man. Everybody, let's just give Tiffany a big round of applause. Congratulations, Tiffany. And, you should just invite us all to come crash your wedding. And listen, I haven't been asked to sing at a wedding in so long. I got this song called She's Your Queen to Be. And I would love to come and give that written.
I just want to know why Charisse is shaking her head no. Have you heard him sing?
You got to see the movie, man, Coming to America. That's a song. That's a song on Coming to America. And but congratulations, Tiffany. And, being married is a wonderful thing. And so we wish you great success. Dr. Donnell from Craven Community College, but he's a staple beyond Craven. And so, Donnell, give us an introduction of yourself, brother. Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Donnell Bryant, a.k.a. Dino the Barber. I was born and raised right here in New Bern. I was raised in the Duffield, Craven Terrace, Trent Court area. Got 5 kids, happily married. Master educator here at Craven Community College with teaching barber education. And also actually own a business here where I do have students that come through my program and vet them through my business before they actually get out into the real world of barber.
Well, that is awesome, Donnell. And we've seen your many awards and accolades in all the stuff that you've done. And so we continue to salute you, and we're looking forward to hearing more about the details of what you do as we go throughout the night. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, as you guys know, on Impacting Life 24/7, we have people on our show every Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night. It's a different guest every night. Someone or some people or some organizations who have made an impact or are making an impact. And I feel like Tabari said last night, man, kids are just one caring adult away from success. And if we can take time out from our normal routine and bring folks on who just want to share, you know, I wish I had the capacity to give these folks $5,000 a piece for showing up. I'm sure they would not have turned it down, but they are taking time out of their schedule. They are volunteering their time to come on here and speak to a national audience about, hey, listen, man, I want to share and tap into, like I said, the imaginations of our young people. So they have been primed with the questions. They've been primed with the questions, of course. And so we're just going to go around the room. We'll ask one question at a time per person and just kind of give you guys an understanding of who is talking to you, give young people an understanding. And for our podcast audience on Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King, you guys will be able to hear six different variations of folks that are making it in what we call the real world. And so I want everybody to share this with your networks. I want you to share this with a young person who may be in, like I said, the valley of indecision. So we're going around the room first. Charisse, tell us what it is that you do, ma'am.
I am a police officer. This October will be 7 years that I've been a police officer. My specific job assignment at this time is a forensic detective. I have been a forensic detective for 4 years, and so that's my primary role at the police department, and then I have other minor roles, but primarily that is what I do.
Awesome. So, yeah, that's a good – thank you for helping bailing me out on that question. So what it is that you do and how long you've been doing it, that's probably a good follow-up there, King. Get yourself together, brother. I just give you the microphone, sister. Thank you so much. Ms. Hill, tell us what it is that you do and how long you've been doing it.
I am a speech-language pathologist or speech therapist, and I work in a rehab center. I work with stroke patients, traumatic brain injury patients to help with their speaking, language, understanding the world around them, memory, thinking, and swallowing disorders.
Awesome. And how long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it for almost 2 years now.
Awesome, man. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, you know, Tabari Wallace, you know, you got to give that brother a moment when he chimes in. He says, what a great panel. So Tabari's watching. You know, Tabari is the superintendent of all superintendents in the world, and he's not even a superintendent, but he might as well be. So thank you, Tabari, for giving us your support and love. And, you know, Tabari from giving a shout out to Duffy Field as well. So Miss Minor, what is it that you do and how long have you been doing it?
I am an adjunct mathematics instructor at Craven Community College. This is my second year there, but I was a high school teacher for 6 years.
All right. So, and I know I'm not supposed to stop, but I have always wondered, I've never Googled it. What does the word adjunct mean?
Part-time.
Oh, see, there you go, man. It just sounds so cool. I wanted to be like when I introduce myself, I am the adjunct international. I tell y'all, we just have a clown show right here. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm doing on Impact Life 24/7, but I'm the adjunct speaker and you're the adjunct professor. How about that? We down with that?
Okay, that works.
And so thank you so much, and thank you for what you're doing, inspiring and pouring into our next generation. Miss Colleen, tell us what you do and how long you've been doing it.
I am the director of programming for Curtis Media Group in Eastern North Carolina. I also oversee 5 radio stations for our company in Eastern North Carolina. I personally program 3 of the 5 radio stations. I'm the program director, the music director, and the promotions manager. And I am on air on one of our radio stations too. I've been here in Eastern North Carolina on the radio with my company for 21 years on the radio in Eastern North Carolina for 24. I'm trying to add 3 and 21. And I need help from the math teacher. 24 years. And I've been in radio for about 35 years.
Awesome. Well, welcome. And I have been on her show. And I'm just hurt that I haven't been asked to come back. I must have did a terrible job. So anyway.
Wait. I have sent an email to Greg. I asked you, Greg, and I believe Charisse, maybe Charisse and your daughter. To come on. We'll talk later.
See, if you send it to Greg, though, you know Greg got a flip phone, so we got to help that brother out. Tiffany, thank you so much again for being on the show. Tell us what you do and how long you've been doing it again.
Absolutely. I currently work for the Department of Justice. I have been working for federal government for 9 years. I am a program analyst / corporate trainer. And I've since taken that corporate trainer skill set and have recently launched my business called No Idea. And we teach diversity, equity, and inclusion workshops to organizations who want to have the tough conversations.
Awesome. And we definitely going to have a sidebar after the show to continue that conversation. Okay, Ms. Willis. And then, of course, Donnell Bryant, tell us, brother, just tell us what it is that you do and how long you've been doing it.
Actually, I'm a professional barber, and I've been barbering now for 38 years. I'm also a master educator here at Craven Community College, and I've been an educator for 8 years now here at Craven Community College.
And what is the name of your barbershop, brother?
Elite Barber Studio. Elite Barber Studio.
Listen, I want y'all to know that if y'all got, I don't call them side hustles no more. I call them life hustles. I ain't got no side hustle. This is my life, yo. So listen, you can put shameless plugs on this show. That's why we have people on this show. If you want to plug what you're doing, plug away. We'll promote it and we'll try to get you where you want to go. And if you get there before we get there, just don't forget it, brother. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Don't forget
appreciate it. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so, Lord have mercy. Am I still on with y'all?
Yes. No.
I think I hit something, ladies and gentlemen.
You look like a band leader or something. Yeah. Marching band guy.
No. Something happened with my camera. So let me get the camera back on, y'all.
Yeah, it was a problem.
I bumped the USB cord. So if you guys can still hear me, correct?
We can see you now.
Yeah. It was just it's very finicky, the setup that I have here. And if you bump something, it just goes crazy. So anyway, let's get back to our questions. So thank you, Donnell. First question is, why would someone choose to go into your career field?
So specifically, if a lot of people want to go into law enforcement because of what they see on TV, and that's just my honest answer. They want to chase people, they want to, you know, get bad guys, so on and so forth. But as time is moving on, a lot of people that come into law enforcement are coming from military experience or, you know, other things that are similar to law enforcement. But there are others who come in with a specific agenda. They want to be a canine handler. They want to be, you know, a traffic reconstructionist and other things, or forensic detective like myself. So that's primarily why someone would want to come into, you know, our career. It's a specific reason, or they have a lot of energy, adrenaline rush, and, you know, they want to do something active.
Awesome. Ms. Hill, in your career field, why would somebody want to come in your career?
I think someone who'd want to come in my career field would love to speak with other people, get to know other people, but also likes language, whether that be speaking other languages or just understanding how we speak and how we think about the things around us or even how our brains work, because there's a lot of neuroanatomy and brain science behind what we do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that field that you're in. Miss Minor, why would somebody want to be a professor?
Teaching is very, very rewarding. And you are in the early stages of someone getting to their ultimate career. So you kind of set the way for, you know, whatever career path they're going to go into. especially math, it's necessary and it's needed. So as a teacher, you kind of direct and lead students to whichever specific career path that they may be deciding to go to.
Well, let me just ask a quick follow-up. You catch them at the community college level, and how long do you get them there? 2 years?
Give or take. Yeah.
Give or take 2 years. And you still feel like you're a part of the shaping process, because they just got out of high school and but you're still a part of this molding of that mind to get them prepared if they want to go on and further their education, huh?
Absolutely. I get a lot of questions about what's next or what to do or how to do it. So it requires me to be very knowledgeable about the process and what's needed for their future, because they still ask those questions. I kind of want to do this. What should I do next? Or and different things like that. Or do I need another math class? Or, what's kind of the next steps for me? So it's you're a part of that process, and it requires you to kind of be knowledgeable about what they need and what they need to know.
That's powerful. So listen to that, young ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to go into being an adjunct professor in math, you're kind of a part of the whole process, not just teaching the X's and O's, so to speak, but also, helping with life decisions afterwards. Colleen, why would someone want to go into your career?
Well, I imagine that their first thought would be, I love music. So, and like me, they can't sing, and apparently, according to Charisse, like you, Mr. King.
Y'all just don't know.
They're never going to be a rock and roll star or the next rap artist, so they're going to do the next best thing, go into radio. But it also is just a great way to utilize your creativity. And what I found during the many years that I've been in radio is that the most satisfying thing for me is what radio can do for your community. Honestly, that's where I get the biggest joy in my job, is what we can do for our community. So in radio, live radio, local radio in your community is your community. So there's a lot of, fun in radio. It's not your normal 9-to-5 job. You've got to be able to adapt. You have to be able to learn new things at the drop of a hat. But you have so much opportunity to get involved, to get creative, to learn new things, and to sing every day.
Yes, absolutely. Sing.
With the studio door closed and nobody listening, the music turned up really loud.
Tiffany, why would someone want to go in your career?
If you want to see people just be better, be their best selves and bring their best selves to your school, to your community, if you believe in ultimately the greater good of human beings, then my career field as a trainer, teacher, would be of interest. And also I want to add, if you have a empathetic nature and strong interpersonal skills, you would strive in this field, especially if you're open to meeting new people, different personalities, different backgrounds, and just seeing the light bulb moment that happens when people connect the dots of something that they don't understand. That part is so satisfying.
Awesome. Donnell, Brian, why would someone want to go into your career field as a master barber?
I would say number one, art, because barbering is an art. I have a lot of individuals that come over to barbering or digging. To the field because of the entrepreneurship that they may have in them. It's a great field, to be as far as with being an entrepreneur. Some networking, being able to, again, meet so many different people. And then individuals that like to see change, because you definitely see a lot of change in the barbershop. And again, like you say, I feel, you know, just being a person that can get a message across to a lot of individuals, especially our young, we are the closest ones to individual ear. And we have that ear for a good amount of time. And again, if you're one that likes to talk and like to get messages across, barbering will be a great, you know, profession for you.
That's powerful. And all of you are, this is one thing that I've just concluded very quickly, man, just hearing your stories, that all of you are involved in affecting people's lives. All of you, every last one of you have a vital role in impacting the lives. And we didn't, I don't know if Greg put this all together like this, but every one of our panelists, what they do affects someone else. You know, if Colleen's having a bad day on the radio, you can tell, you'll be able to tell it. You know, if Detective Gerard has to comfort someone that's having cardiac arrest in their car, you know, she's got to be prepared. You all are in the people business. I am just blown away by how this is all kind of aligned for this tonight's show. And so I think we all have declared how long we have been in our careers. And we'll just go around real quick. I think Sharice said 8 years you've been in law enforcement.
7 years.
7 years. Ms. Hill, you've been 2 years. Ms. Minor, how long?
8 years.
8 years. Colleen, 63 years. Colleen said 35.
You're a citizen of the panel.
right. Colleen's 35 years. Miss Tiffany Willis is 9 years, correct? And the great Donnell Bryant, 38 years, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so as you see, ladies and gentlemen, and you young people there, look at the diversity of these careers, and all of them have a potential for longevity. They all have a potential for you to explore and expand your imagination. I didn't even think about that when Detective Gerard was talking about, man, a person may want to work in canine. I just got a golden retriever not too long ago for my birthday. And I'm wondering if maybe he could be a police dog. I don't know. If y'all saw him, y'all would say no. So before we go to Samson is an issue, I'm just telling you. So let's get this next question in. I want to go number three before we go to the break. We might miss the break by a little bit, but that's okay. Can you give us three things a 10th grade student should do now to begin to prepare for your career? Somebody who's like, okay, I hear you. What should I start working on, or what should I start focusing on? Detective Gerard.
I would say first and foremost, you have to be able to write professionally. You have to be able to not only write professionally, but be able to articulate what you wrote and articulate it on paper so good that someone who wasn't there can read it and they feel like they were right there where you were, you know. Also being able to speak well, you know, you may have to testify in court. You may have to explain something to a family that is having the worst day of their life, so on and so forth. So public speaking, writing, and then overall your character, you know, check your motive for, you know, why you're thinking about going into law enforcement or whatever the case may be, you know, and everything else will follow. But just making sure you have good characteristics, public speaking, and being able to write well.
That's good. Awesome. Outstanding. Ms. Hill, three things that a 10th grader should start thinking about and working on if they wanted to go into your career of speech pathology.
Basically everything that Sharice said, thinking about how your reading skills are as well, being able to look at something and get out the information that you need from what you're reading, working on your writing skills, because you'll have to work with note writing for yourself to be able to document what you did in your treatment for other therapists to read, and also for insurance purposes. And also just being able to speak to others, and whether that be working on your public speaking skills or just even small talk, how to get to know others, learning how to know what motivates people.
Bedside manners, maybe. I mean, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good, huh?
Exactly.
Don't be going trying to help somebody work on their speech and you be all twisted at your husband or something. Come on, get it together, man. You gotta be smooth with it. Professor Minor, what are three things that you would tell a 10th grader to begin working on now?
I would say focusing on your grades across the board. Although I only teach math, I still have to be well versed in English, history, psychology. I have to take all those courses. So math is can't be my only focus. It's my strong point, but it can't be my only focus. I will also say being a people person. Students come in your classroom from all different walks of life. I have students fresh out of college all the way to non-traditional students. They're in their 50s or 60s. So I have to be able to relate the math to all students. And then the last one would just be being able to articulate the material in a way that every student gets what they need. And that just sometimes means diversifying the lesson. You know, sometimes I have to say it a different way or present it a different way because everyone learns different. So just, you know, being able to kind of switch it up and change it up. You can't have one set style because everybody doesn't learn that way.
Excellent, excellent points. Colleen, three things that you would tell a 10th grader to get start thinking about to be going in radio.
So I'll just speak from the programming side of radio because we talked about this a little bit. It has changed a lot. And I'm gone.
No, you're there. We see you.
Oh, okay. You all went blank. but from the programming side, if you wanted to get into radio and be an announcer, cut commercials, you know, work with the public, computer skills, believe it or not, they're very important right now. We work on a lot of different computer programs to cut commercials, to do imaging, to even dubbing in our music that we play on the radio these days. So hone your computer skills, know how to use a computer. You might not necessarily be able to use the programs that we do in radio, but you know how you have to know how to use a computer. And everybody laughs at me a little bit when I bring people in and start training them on the air and they start as maybe a board op or a part-timer. Speak and speak well, but speak to yourself all the time. It's okay to talk out loud in the shower, when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, when you're in your bedroom hanging out, when you have to do that math homework. Yeah. So do it all out loud and hone your writing skills. You need to be able to read and write well and articulate that well. So, you know, the more creative you are with your writing, the more you will shine when it comes to radio programming.
Awesome. Very, very good points. Tiffany, what would you tell a 10th grader, three things that you would tell a 10th grader to start thinking about?
I would say the first thing is to think about your presence as a facilitator, trainer, teacher. Your presence as you walk into a room is important. And it's also important when you're not in a room. You know, how do you want to show up? What do people say about you when you're not there? You have to learn, you have to know how to read a room and manage a room. The second thing I would say is to work on your interpersonal skills. If you know that I myself identify as an introvert, and I was not always, I used to be really, really shy and afraid to speak in front of people, to people, in front of a room. And somehow I found myself in a career where I teach people and I have to be in front of a room. So find out what activities can you do to pull that shell back a little bit. I still am an introvert, but I know how to put on when I need to be in front of a room. And then lastly, I would say be open to receiving constructive feedback. There's always room for improvement as a facilitator. No one's perfect. You're not perfect. Your students aren't perfect. So in order to be better, be open to constructive feedback.
Wow, that was a powerful word that you used there. Oftentimes we hear constructive criticism, and criticism sounds so negative. But when you use constructive feedback, it's like, man, I can digest that a little bit. Let me give you some constructive criticism. And my ears is already turned slap off But if you say,
yes, I'm going to steal that.
Let me give you some constructive feedback as we pass the grape.
That's very nice.
And I'm like, yeah, man, tell me, brother. Man, you sounded terrible. Oh, okay, cool. As long as it's feedback and not criticism, I'm down. Anyway, Donnell, three things that you would tell a 10th grader to start thinking about if they wanted to go into the field of barbering.
I would say, number one, similar to along the line what Miss Tiffany said, as far as your presentation is your representation. So when you step again, when you step into rooms and you step into places and when people meet you for the first time, you need to be presentable. You need to be a good listener. You definitely need to be a good listener. And I would also say to make sure that you're always willing to learn. Never feel like you want to get to a point where you just know it all or you just know enough, but be willing always and open to learn. And again, like you say, with listening to different individuals, you can learn so much.
I can tell you this, Donnell. I remember growing up as a kid going to the barber, and man, them brothers was in there solving world hunger in the barbershop, man. I mean, if you really want to know the answer, there's probably everything can be found in there. It was a safe place too. It just felt safe, man. Like that was my place. I need to come and just get safe again in your barbershop, brother. So elite barbershop in New Bern. So now, ladies and gentlemen, as you see, bringing guests on like this and all the things that we do on Impacting Life 24/7, this is the reason why this is possible is because of our sponsors. And one of the things about our sponsors is that they are amazing. Man, can we tell you about our amazing sponsors? The sponsors of Impacting Life 24/7. Michelle Perry, she is the host of the Successful Diligence podcast and best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at successfuldiligence.com. Paula Cousson, she has dedicated her life to volunteering in community youth programs such as the Young Marines. Paula believes that the greatest asset each young person can have in their life is one caring adult. Our platinum sponsors, Mr. Gregory Smith. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy today of his book by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Adrienne Barker. She is the host of the Adrienne Barker Speech Podcast, a life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Please connect with her at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Mr. Mike Black from New Bern, North Carolina. He helps men throughout Eastern Carolina lead a faith-filled life. He is a compassionate leader in his church and a devoted husband and father. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr., Executive Director of the PRF Institute. He is the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity and Don't Leave Me Like This. An inspiration to leave a legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be the premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the world. Find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. Poet Katrina McCain is the author of Because She Decided to Love. This is a collection of poetry and prose about love and its impact on every relationship. This raw, uncut poetry book addresses the themes of how we experience love. Connect with her and get your copy at poetkatrinamccain.com. Dr. Skip Mondragon II, MD, is a 26-year Army veteran, National Veterans Wrestling Champion, and speaker. He is the author of Wrestling Depression is Not for Wimps. Lessons learned from an amateur wrestler's fight to triumph over depression. Contact him at wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. If you would like to become a sponsor of the Impacting Life 24/7 Global Podcast, reach out to us. We need your help. Just go to clkingspeaker.com. And that's the part where I just want to jump off the stage with like a a guitar on fire. So thank you to all of our sponsors who are helping make Impacting Life 24/7 exactly what it is, impacting one life one day at a time. And thank you to Jordan Brown for helping us with our new track. Thank you to our new platinum and gold sponsors who are just joining us. Here's what we've discovered. I'm just going to parenthetically insert this for everybody to know. We have never set out to be some viral sensation like overnight. Okay, you can put this in the category of TikTok. Somebody can get butter out their refrigerator and put it back in, and they get 7 million views. That's viral, but then you never see that person again. It's a short-lived experience. We have always determined that we were going to continue to just think about one life, one day at a time, one life, one day at a time. And through all of that, people have been willing to support us. So I have been blessed to have been having a conversation with six people, and we're doing it. We're doing it pretty good too. We have our 2021 closeout of the school year career expo. I've got some amazing guests that volunteered to come on and be embarrassed with me, CL King, because you guys know I'll be messing up a show from time to time. I'm thankful that you guys are giving us insights to our young people, to our parents, maybe just tapping in. Sometimes you don't have to have the whole story. Just give me a little bit to whet my appetite. And so we're going to get back to our questions because I know these folks got other things to do. And so I'm going to try to keep this thing moving. What training and education is required, Detective Gerard, to be in your field as an officer? You're on mute. I got to get you off mute, Detective. There you go.
There we go.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry.
I can hear you now,
good. Most of the time with law enforcement, you do not need a college degree to come into law enforcement. Now, when you start getting into wanting to be a supervisor, a sergeant, lieutenant, captain, so on and so forth, that's when a college degree is going to come into play. It is possible for you to come into law enforcement and, you know, spend your entire career without going to college. But if you want to excel in your career, and or if you plan to use law enforcement as a stepping stone and branch out to do something else, then I would advise, want to get their education. Most of the training that we receive is through the police department, where they're sending us to Justice Academy, so, you know, different places, locations to get hands-on training that's not specific to you attending college.
So let me just ask a follow-up. To what level can a person get? Let's say they came in, they went through the academy, basic law enforcement training. What level can they get to before they would need higher education?
It's possible for you to be what we call a master police officer 3. So you have Master Police Officer 1, Master Police Officer 2, and 3. It's possible for you to get to a 3 without a college degree. And then once you get into wanting to be promoted to sergeant, either you have to have X amount of college credit hours or an actual degree in order to, you know, be considered for that position.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. So again, listen, young ladies and gentlemen, see, I love the entry level. And as you get into an entry level position, you begin to look at the organization. And it's like some people say, well, I don't ever want to put in for a promotion. I'll never go beyond where I'm at. But then as you start looking at the organization, you start looking at your input, you start looking at your impact, you say, well, man, I can do more. I want to do more. And so it more requires more. To whom much is given, come on, let the church say it. Much is required. Well, that's good. Cerise, did you
want to? May I add one more thing?
Please go ahead.
I did. I will say that for the city of New Bern, at least, I can't speak for other municipalities, but if you get an associate's degree or coming in with an associate's degree, a bachelor's, so on and so forth, you do make more money than people that do not have one. And then once you get to the master's level, it's significant increase in your pay. So that is an incentive for one to get their education, but you can get that while you're there. You don't necessarily have to get it beforehand.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. Ms. Hill, I think the question is how much training and education is required for your field as a speech pathologist?
So entry level for speech pathology is a master's degree. And during that time, while you're getting your master's degree, You'll gain observation hours, clinical hands-on clock hour time to prepare yourself to go out into the field. For us, the first 9 months or 9 months to a year of our career is supervised education, or a supervised fellowship. So you're on the job, you're getting paid, but you do have a supervisor or a mentor to kind of guide you through what you're doing within that first 9 months to 1 year.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Ms. Hill. That gives us some great insight. And thank you for going the distance on that education piece. I really appreciate it. Ms. Miner, what education and training is required for your field?
To be a math teacher, you do need a bachelor's degree, but to teach at the community college level, you must have a master's degree. And that will require 18 credit hours in your specific topic. So I would have to have 18 credit hours of math to teach at the community college level.
All right. And she's, again, an adjunct professor. And I found out tonight that adjunct professor is a really hype name that I'm just going to add to my repertoire. And I will have them introduce me like that. So thank you so much for what you're doing. Colleen, tell us how much training and education is required for your field.
Well, I don't want to discourage anybody from getting an education, because there are opportunities to learn the things that you need to get into a radio career, no matter what branch of radio you choose, that are available to you at our fine community colleges in Eastern North Carolina, and, you know, and for your schools too. But you do not need a degree to find your way in radio. It's, you know, the opportunities are slim now, but you can do it. And I'll tell a little story. A couple of years ago, we were having a promotions meeting, and three of my jocks that worked on our hot AC were sitting at the table. And one was like, well, I have a degree in, and well, I have a degree in, and the other one was like, I have a degree in, and I'm like, I've got no degree and I'm the boss. Let's start this meeting. You know, hard work. That's what counts. But I encourage everybody, because and this is exactly what I told my son for 21 years. I encouraged him to get an education after high school, make a plan, whether when we decided that four-year school wasn't for him, he went to community college and got all of his welding certifications, and he's got a great job now. So, you know, have a plan, but never give up. And I love that our detective said, you know, you can do that too while you're employed in the field. Like, if you wanted to get into radio and you started out in radio, never give up on an education. You can always better yourself with an education.
That's exactly right. And so thank you, ladies and gentlemen, who are tuning in and joining us from all across the country and literally around the world. There might even be some folks in outer space, y'all. I don't know if we're reaching them yet, but this is Impacting Life 24/7. And I am blessed to have six panelists with me, guests of and friends of ours, who are giving us an insight for our 2021 closeout of the school year career expo. And so we're going around the room asking them about the next piece of this training and education for their field. And so, Ms. Tiffany Willis, what training and education is required for your field? In tell us your field again.
So my field is, for my day job, it's for the federal government. For my startup, it's the diversity, equity, and inclusion arena, and as a trainer. So as a trainer, teacher, instructor, whatever label you want to put on it, I have to echo Ms. Miner. You need at least entry level, a bachelor's degree. And I echo what Ms. Gerard, Detective Gerard, said, as moving up the ranks, getting that master's degree will definitely enhance your pay. Of course, you can go far up and educate when it comes to teaching and moving up to PhD and doctorate. You don't have to go that far, but if your mind likes research, dissertations, go forward. But I want to add, don't forget certifications. I have a master's degree, but I also have, because of my field, it starts to, when you start to go further into your field and you start to get into that specialized area, those certifications come in handy, and also are just as important as that degree. because that will also enhance your pay scale.
Absolutely. I remember walking into, you talk about certification. I'm a certified Lean Six Sigma Green Belt. That doesn't mean I know an ounce of karate, but I do know about process improvement. And when I walk in the room, I'm just like, hey, look, I'm the green belt here. Y'all step aside. I'll show you how this is done. And that certification I got way, way, way back in 2006, and they can't never take that one away from me, sister. So that's right. That's really important that you put that little piece on there. Get your certifications. And those are just, those are gold nuggets, man. So continue to get that. Mr. Bryant, Donnell Bryant from Elite Barbers in New Bern, North Carolina. What a training and certification and education is required to go into barbering, sir?
Actually, it's a high school diploma or a GED, 1,500 hours, well, 1,528 hours of training. You would do a year of an apprenticeship. And after your year of apprenticeship, you become a registered barber. Once you become a registered barber, at that point, you would be able to own your own business or open up a business. You would be able to become a manager or a supervisor of a barbershop. Then going further into being a master educator, you have to know and understand and be able to facilitate and teach all 21 chapters. They just changed the books up, but you need to know all 21 chapters of the barbering book inside out. And again, that can open up so many different opportunities for you when doing your own thing and not just with the barber school. Like here now, being with the college, I can do one thing, but through my business, I can, you know, run other things, you know, going through just off of the master educator's license.
Awesome. That's powerful. And you know, I'm thinking about when I was in the group home and foster homes way back in Lorain, Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio, we used to go downstairs and tie a belt around our head and was going to give each other a fade, you know, going to give ourselves a fade. And there's just a little bit more education, just a little bit more that you're going to need besides tying a belt around and edging the brother up around. So I did that to somebody one time, but he said, can you cut me? I said, I can cut you up, dog. Man, the line was all crooked, man. I didn't have a clue. That dude wanted to fight afterwards. So I just cut all my hair off now. My sons don't let me cut their hair. So if I need a legit haircut, I'm going to send them to Elite Barbershop with Mr. Donnell Bryant. And so thank you for that. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want the young people to hear me when I say this, is that there are levels to this thing, right? I was told my kids years ago, this is before I'm doing what I'm doing now, but when I got out the Marine Corps, I was making $8.03 an hour. We was living in a single wide trailer. That was okay. We had six kids. We was grinding. I don't make that now, but there were levels to go there. You understand? And so wherever you start, that doesn't mean that that's your ceiling. Okay. That just is your season. That doesn't mean that's your ceiling. And so I know that Detective Gerard, she is like grinding and hustling, get in school, and she's got bigger plans. And so I want the young people don't feel like, well, I got in at this entry level position and that's all I can do. You just heard Donnell say, hey man, this opened up so many more doors for you if you do the work. And so that's really powerful. Let me get on to some more questions.
Yeah, I'm gonna add one more thing.
Who's that? Miss Tiffany? Of course. Yeah. You engage. You can ask whatever you want. Sister, go ahead.
Colleen had said something that resonated with me as far as the associate's degree and her son. And I have five brothers and a sister. I'm the oldest. And so the girls excel naturally, but the boys, when it came to my brothers, two in particular, they excelled in high school, right? They were sports, basketball stars, track stars. But when they started to, you know, grow, started to hang with a few different people that kind of took them off track. So when it came to time to graduate and move to the 4-year, my mom was basically, she's like, so we're not wasting money. We're not going straight to the 4-year. We're going to start off with this 2-year, the community college. And which was a wake up call for those, because initially they were one, not the other. One was embarrassed But we kind of had to coach him through that. It's nothing to be embarrassed about because all of his friends were at 4 years. And so he eventually did a total 180, went from D student to B student at this community college. So once the first one went through, my mom saw that it was cost effective, right? Going that route, starting with community college. So my two brothers and my sister all went that route of going to community college first, got the associates, and then transferred to the 4 year. So I just wanted to throw that out. If financially, or maybe you just need a little bit more time, it is okay to go get your associates first and figure out where you wanna go. And if you do wanna transfer to that 4 year, you're probably gonna jump in at that junior year level, maybe sophomore, but junior level, but don't be afraid to go that route.
Yeah, I 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, so when my son was in high school, we had somebody from ECU come speak about ECU, and they very honestly said to the parents, you know, we have an excellent community college in Greenville, and it is so much more affordable to go to the community college for 2 years and then transfer to ECU if that's what you choose to do. And I know my son played baseball, excelled at it, especially in his senior year, had some four-year colleges talking to him, but had no interest in really doing anything other than he wanted to be an underwater welder. And then he wanted to be, you know, a TIG welder and a MIG welder. And so to go play baseball at a four-year college, just to play baseball at the cost that it takes to put you in a four-year college, it just didn't make sense. He played baseball for community college for a year, and then he just focused on getting his certificates. Much to my disappointment, he did not get his two-year degree because he couldn't pass that psychology class three times. He has a great career right now, and he makes good money, probably more than I do in radio. So
I can just tell you this, that I am a VIP ambassador at Craven, and I 100% endorse community colleges, because if a person is not ready mentally or financially, whatever, that would be the route to go. We got to keep moving. It's got tentacles, so we got to keep moving, y'all. Detective, I apologize, Gerard, what are some benefits you have experienced by choosing your career?
Quickly, first thing, my career has made me very humble, because I am I don't like to say crime scene investigator, but forensic detective. Because of that, we do see people on the worst, more so than patrol, on very rare days of their lives most of the time. My job has made me very humble. I've met a lot of people, a lot of networking, and it has also exposed me to a lot of things, issues amongst the world, and kind of tugged at my heart for some things that I want to do, you know, as I climb up the ladder.
All right. That's true. Thank you so much. It really has humbled you, and you are a very humble person. We really appreciate
you. Thank you.
Ms. Hill, the question is, what are some benefits you've experienced choosing your career?
I would say some benefits for choosing my career for me personally have been literally and figuratively appreciating my own voice, whether that be advocating for myself or even my own pattern of speech, and also being able to help others express themselves, whether that be by verbal communication or gestural communications. It's just very heartwarming and very fulfilling to be able to see someone struggle with speech or communication in general and be able to express what's important to them.
Awesome. Very powerful. Professor Minor, what are some benefits that you've experienced in your career?
It's been very rewarding. I like to say I get to leave my thumbprint in my students' lives forever, getting them over that hump. 90% of my students hate math. So getting them through the course successfully is always rewarding, and getting them past their fears or struggles or walls they've built up over math is always very beneficial and rewarding.
Awesome, man. Very, very powerful. Thank you. Colleen, what are some benefits that you've experienced in your career?
Wow. Well, I could joke and say I get to wear jeans and sneakers to work. I'm not good in heels. But I think that mostly it's what I spoke of earlier, and that's the impact that radio can have on its community. So the things that we can do when it comes to local radio and partnering with people like you and everybody on this panel in our communities and focusing on improving people's lives, people's towns, people's homes.
Absolutely. Miss Willis, Tiffany Willis, her name is going to be changing here soon, y'all. What are some benefits that you've experienced choosing your career?
I would say my confidence, just overall confidence in speaking in front of people, confidence in my presence. Also just the ability to just meet a variety of different people and different personalities from different backgrounds. And then of course, seeing the impact of people who were once uncomfortable with a deemed sensitive topic who then learn to become comfortable with it.
Awesome, very great answer, very powerful. Donnell Bryant from Elite Barbers in New Bern, North Carolina. Brother, I'm gonna need a little cut for all these promos I'm giving you. I'm teasing, man.
Better than a cut. I let you pamper yourself. Get a facial. All that good stuff.
Yes, sir. Edge me up, man. Edge me up. What are some benefits that you've experienced in your career, bro?
Benefits that I've experienced was one, traveling. I get to do a lot of traveling. And with that traveling, I have cultivated so many great relationships that has, again, opened doors to so many other different opportunities for me. I would say the main thing I think would be impacting lives, being able to be that individual to impact other individuals' lives. That's the biggest for me.
I've watched you, brother, and I say this with all sincerity, man. You've opened up your barber to give away free haircuts all the time. You are a staple in that community, man. And so I definitely salute the work that you do. Colleen, someone says, Terry says, Colleen, way to go. Big fan. Good to see you here. So see, Colleen, you couldn't hide anymore. Everyone, the word is getting out that Colleen needed to come on CL King's show and bail him out to get his ratings up.
Oh, please. Thank you, Terry.
I'm teasing. And
I'm humbled to be here with all of these amazing people on the panel. And half of them I wanted to be at one point in time in my life. You know, the Air Force pilot, the police officer, or the professor. So it's amazing.
Detective, why do I keep saying officer? Detective Gerard, a challenge that you've had to overcome in your career?
Most recently, well, I'll rewind. Law enforcement in general, I think we're only 9% female. So that's been a challenge in itself. And then most recently, within the last year, being a minority in law enforcement has been very challenging for me.
And, you know, I don't walk in your shoes, but I had Chief Vicky Foster on, who was the deputy chief in Charlotte. And she said the exact same thing relative to being a female chief. And being a minority was a challenge. But the beautiful thing about what the chief did and what you are doing is you seem to just rise to the challenge, man. And so we're thankful for you giving our young people an insight that says, hey, listen, there are some challenges, but look at me. You see these stripes right here? They didn't just give them to me, yo. That's right. You see what I'm saying? Look at that. You know what I'm saying, sister? So continue to rise. Some challenge that you faced in your career, Ms. Hill?
Similar to Detective Gerard, being in a field that has very little minorities or a small percentage of minorities, but also just coming out of your comfort zone. What we do is very generalized. You can work with babies to older adults. So being able to stop doing something that you're very comfortable with and stepping outside of your comfort zone.
That's awesome. Get out that comfort zone. Professor Miner, what is a challenge that you've had in your career?
I would say being a young instructor. So gaining the respect of my students and getting them to learn or know that I mean what I say and I say what I mean.
Yeah, because if I was walking into college and I seen you, I'd say, where's your hall pass, young lady?
I get that all the time.
Boy, they gonna fire me off this show, man. I just need to quit and stick to the questions. Colleen, what is the challenge you faced in your career?
Oh, they may have been a couple of creepy stalkers throughout my radio career when I was younger. But really, just like every female on this panel can probably say, it's being a female in a business that's been dominated by men, especially when I started in radio 35 years ago. I was literally told, we already have a chick on the air. We don't need another female on the air. So chick used often. A lot of hard work and a lot of determination. And working with people who open their arms and open their minds to a female in radio being more than just the midday chick, I was able to accomplish a lot in this career.
Awesome, so. Colleen. You've done a lot and you've accomplished a lot and impacted a lot. Tiffany, what has been a challenge though in your career?
I would say dealing with people or organizations that are resistant to change. And or seeing diversity, equity, inclusion as a check the box and not a just people dealing with people thing.
Yeah, some organizations do get very crafty at the check in the box approach. And I resist that, man. I absolutely despise it. I was listening to Tabari last night. He was talking about them changing the way that they communicate. They created this funnel with principals all the way from the state level down to the district level. They said principals didn't have a voice. Principals didn't have a voice up. They just were told to do what was passed down from on high. Well, now they've created this position where they said, we want to hear from you. We inclusion is, yeah, we don't just want you to do what we say. We want to hear from you. And so that really inspired me. And organizations that don't tap into that are fledgling, in my opinion. Donnell, what is a challenge that you've experienced in 38 years of barbering?
I think my biggest challenge was being able to understand my talents, but accept my gift. And that was from stepping from behind the barber chair of being a skillful barber to understanding the classroom was where my gift was. I feel that's my purpose. And I had to be able to understand and step away to differentiate the two.
Oh my goodness. You got anything else to say? You got anything else to say, brother?
Yeah. Real good. I'm gonna have
very
to
thoughtful.
I'm gonna write that down. You gotta say that one more time. That was good.
Say it again, Donnell, for the people in the back. Say it again, brother.
Yeah, understanding, like you say, understanding your talent and then understanding your gift. Just being able to like you say, be able to separate the two and understand what's what. Because I thought for so long that my talent was my gift. I thought cutting hair and being able to be nice with the clippers, I thought that was really the gift. But when I started tapping in and understanding more of myself, I realized my gift is what you're supposed to give to others, but your talent is for you.
Oh, that's powerful.
Once I understood that, it helped me really be able to step away from the chair and be able to be in the classroom.
I got a training called GEAR, G-E-A-R. And the G, Donnell, stands for identifying your gift. Now, y'all feel the Holy Ghost on that one, right? See, because what I try to tell young people is, here's what I try to tell them. Now, listen to me. I know I'm long on the show, y'all. You can watch the replay if you want, but we got to get this in. We don't get these people all the time. Just give us a few more minutes, all right? But I said, listen, putting fries in the basket, that's cool, but that's labor. That ain't a gift. All right, you got to tap into your gift, like what Donnell said, man. And man, I'm telling you what, if you just listen to that piece right there tonight, I think we all have been better. I got to tap into my gifts too. All right, so let's get down to we're down to the last two questions, y'all, and the last question, and then we get to close it out with a statement from each person. Do you feel, and I asked this question because young people, and I asked it last because sometimes, what do we think about? Money. Money, right? The economics is a portion of our life. I don't do what I do for free. Colleen, when you knew me way back in 2012, I had spoken for a lot of chicken dinners. I don't do that anymore. Not that I'm above doing it. I'm just telling you that chicken don't put nothing in the gas tank. So I had to learn that economics was a part of my gift, Donnell, that is a part of it too. And so how much can you, well, we got this gift certificate to Bojangles. I'm like, yo, man, just Zoom me in and I'll give you the speech for free. Anyway, one of the things that young people think is, okay, you know, they see the glitz and glamour and, you know, I'm going to be like this, I'm going to be like that. But I want them to see that what you do is respectable, but there is progression. So Detective Gerard, do you feel your salary is competitive and can you advance in your career?
Yes, I do feel my salary is competitive. Actually, New Bern Police Department is known for paying more than a lot of our surrounding agencies. I won't name them. And yes, I can advance in my career. I'm actually up for promotion the beginning of next year. I don't want to be long, but just as Mr. Bryant said, I am torn between wanting to do what I want to do because I know I'm good at it and letting go and saying, okay, it's time for you to get promoted and move on, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is room for promotion.
All right. Amen. Awesome. Ms. Hill, do you feel your career is salary is competitive and can you advance in your career?
I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth within my career, whether that be being a manager within your rehab department or going back to school and getting a clinical doctorate or a research PhD doctorate. Your pay does really depend on your certifications as well. So as everyone said before, that's very important. And also depending on the setting you work in, you may make one thing if you work in the skilled nursing facility versus if you work in a school or in another setting.
All right. So that's important. Like as you start on this path, you know, there could be variances based on location. So it's important, young people, to research this. Terry says NBPD, I'm assuming that's New Bern Police Department, is awesome. So there you go, Detective Gerard. Y'all awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Professor Miner, do you feel your career is salary is competitive and is there opportunity for advancement?
Well, we know about educators.
This is why I got to get out the room.
The field of education, you don't typically go in for the money. You typically go in because you have a passion to do it. And that's, like I said before, I taught high school for 6 years. So there was the opportunity for me to grow, going to the community college level. And I'm choosing to go get my master's so that I can be full-time, so I can take my adjunct off and just be full-time. Yeah, you can have it in December. I graduate from ECU in December. So there are opportunities for advancement in the education field. But that's about as far as it would go. Well, I guess you could get your PhD and go to the university level. That's not my passion, but right. There are opportunities for advancement.
Well, let me just give a shout out to one of our show team members, Danny Brunson, who I feel is pretty much the smartest person ever to live on the planet. He helps us on Impact Life 24/7. He just graduated with his master's from ECU. So he's hearing all these ECU shout outs and he's like, yeah, go Pirates. So anyway, love and appreciate Danny, man. I'm telling you, if you look up Danny Brunson in the dictionary, they'll just be like, that's it. There ain't nobody smarter than him. The dude is a brilliant man. So anyway, Colleen, real quick, is the salary competitive in radio and is there opportunity for advancement?
Well, you know, you don't go into radio for the money either, just the concert tickets, which you don't get a lot of these days either. So I have certainly learned how to clip coupons, right, and shop thrift stores. But I have had a happy life and a happy career. And, you know, there have been times that I've scraped by, and there are, you know, as I've grown in my career, I feel like I have a competitive salary for the market that we're in. There's certainly opportunities to move to bigger markets and make more money, to have syndicated shows. It's few and far between, kind of like becoming a professional baseball player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do it for more than just the money. And I think that's one thing that people have to find is their happiness. Sometimes making a lot of money doesn't make you happy.
That's right. That's right. The why is important. That's good, Colleen. Tiffany, is your career field as an analyst, government analyst, and what you do in your entrepreneur business? I always endorse entrepreneurs. Yeah, I'm making a pile of cash in that. But would you say that your career field is competitive and salary competitive?
I would say it's federal government. You know, you have your GS scale that ultimately caps at the end of the day. After several, it takes a few years. I would say I advanced fairly quickly up the scale. The next two levels left on the scale with like a million steps, they start to go into that senior executive service. That's not my thing. It's not my lane. So I'm not interested in just moving up for the sake of moving up. However, in my entrepreneurial field, I can set my own rates. So I'll just leave that part there.
Did you say I'm gonna drop that off right there for y'all? and I'm in that world, so I can understand. I can identify. I set my own rates too. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Donnell, Brian, would you say that in the barbering industry that the salary is competitive, and is there opportunity for advancement?
And it's a great opportunity for advancement. Great opportunity. I would say, I mean, just speaking, you know, for myself, I don't have a degree. I don't have a degree, but here I am, you know, director and coordinator of a program here at a community college. And I would say that my pay, it puts me in a position of living a pretty good lifestyle. At the same time of being able to have a business, it's again, not about just the money, but you have so many other opportunities that you can advance in just through barbering. Yeah. And like you said before, it's levels to it. But as you go higher in the levels, you learn so much more when it comes to, you know, guerrilla marketing. You start your marketing agency. You get into, you know, product development. You start building, you know, making your own products because you use so many products. You know what work, what don't work. You have so many other different avenues that you can go in. It's no cap. Nobody can tell me how much that I can make. I can make as much as I want. It's just about how much work you want to put in.
You know what I'm saying? And years ago, I created this hair product called Soul Glow. And I thought it was going to get off the ground, bro. But y'all can't come on this show and be serious, man. I'm telling you. Here's what podcasting has taught me, that I cannot take myself seriously, y'all. Okay. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you know, our show is typically an hour, but we have the flexibility, especially when it's a night like this with these type of professionals, to extend the time, because I feel like the next generation is worth it. The music is playing. We're going to go around the room, ladies and gentlemen, 30 seconds. Detective Gerard, a word of encouragement and inspiration to our next generation.
Don't follow the crowd, because the crowd may not know where they're going. Do your own research, watch YouTube videos, go talk to people, and make your own way and get your own information so that you can make an informed decision about what you want to do.
Hey, man, that's right. Do your research. Great, great advice. Ms. Hill?
Find something you love and make it the center of what you do.
She didn't take 30 seconds. Find something you love and make that is powerful. I'm going to take that up. I'm going to do that. Professor, you ain't no adjunct professor, sister. You are a professor. You're professing.
Yeah, I believe that I receive
it now. Professor Minor, what a word of encouragement to our young people.
Follow your heart, find your passion, and do whatever it is that you love to do.
All right. Amen. Colleen?
I'm going to ditto the three ladies before me. And I could probably talk about this for a long time, but I will reiterate that understand that you have to pay the bills, but money doesn't buy you happiness. So find something that makes you happy and focus on that, because you can be rich in happiness and poor in money. And, you know, surround yourself by positive people who will build you up and then pass that on and build others up too. Have a plan. I've always told my son, have a plan, but be willing to change that plan. I mean, you know, I wanted to be the next Stephen King female novelist when I was in school. My plans changed. Be willing to change that plan. If your heart right now says do this and you're not happy in a couple of years, don't be afraid to change your plan and embrace it and climb the ladder of success and don't break any rungs on your way up.
Ooh, that's powerful. Don't break them rungs. Tiffany Willis, word of encouragement.
It's okay if you don't have it figured out right now. Like, that's all right. But explore opportunities that will help you figure that out, because you never know what you may be exposed to that you may actually like.
All right. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out. Trust me.
Exactly.
Every day I wake up in the morning trying to be like, Greg, what in the world are we doing, brother? We just keep on going. We keep on grinding and we're going to get there.
Don't give up and don't give in to criticism or demons or Debbie Downers, baby.
That's right. Donnell?
I would want to say, make sure that you always, you know, try to put yourself in a position where you're going to evolve and not evaporate. Make sure that, you know, when you go through doing what you're doing, when you get out here in this world, that you want to be legendary. You don't want to be temporary. And at the end of the day, can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. I see that hashtag all the time. And whenever I see it, when I'm feeling sorry for myself, I'm like, oh man, Donnell, thank you for dropping that word of encouragement. Thank you to, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, can't stop, won't stop, you don't know. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been an epic closeout to my week, a tremendous wealth of information. We exhausted and we just tipped the tip of the spear, but it felt so exhaustive that you guys poured out into our listeners and those on our podcast and those watching us live. I want to thank all of you for your time. And I got a Bojangles chicken card that we go send y'all. Everybody can love Bojangles. Listen, I love you guys.
Primo, baby.
Yeah, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. And we'll see you again real soon. Okay. You can let yourself out of the room.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great one.
Bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. Greg, we did it. It's just me and you again, and Danny and Katrina. Thank you guys for tuning in. Man, that was an hour hour and a half show. But you know what? I feel like, hey, listen, if I'm going to go on a long show, I want it to be for our next generation. Thank you. Thank you, Detective Gerard. Thank you all of you guys for taking time out of your schedule, man, because I know that the time, you can't get it back. And you guys have given your time, not just to us at Impacting Life 24/7, but to maybe that one person that would have heard one of y'all say just maybe even a word or two and said, man, I can go. I can do it. I can go to the next level. I'm not going to give up, because there's a lot of kids out there feeling maybe they don't have what it takes. Donnell, thank you. Colleen, thank you. Miss Minor, thank you. Miss Willis, thank you so much. Miss Hill, thank you. Detective Gerard, thank you. And we'll do it again. And maybe we'll get the reverse. We'll have one lady and rest guys. Donnell was outnumbered tonight, so we was on our best behavior. But no, these ladies, they were amazing. Donnell was amazing. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Katrina. Thank you guys for always supporting what we're doing. And this is why we're doing it. To make an impact. You never know, that one life that you speak to could be the life that really changes the world.